T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
92.3 The Fan.
Can any nation stand alone? In the burning.
Yeah, Rocky Music Day here on the Bull and Fox Show continues. Love it. A little Burning Heart action. I know Joe Varden's into the Burning Heart. Joe, are you a big Rocky guy?
Big Rocky guy and huge Survivor guy.
There you go. I knew you'd be at the Burning Heart.
So yeah, this is kind of firing me up a little bit.
All right, rank the Rocky movies, Joe.
Wow, jeez. I mean, so you have to consider my exact age. I'm 37.
Oh, you're youngin'.
And so, like, the movie that I took in, where the first one that I could really absorb in real time.
Joe.
Yeah.
First off, you're 37? I thought you were way younger than that.
Well, I appreciate that.
You wear it well. I thought you were like,
what did you think he was 18?
No, I thought he was like 30.
Oh.
Well, you guys are making me blush, but yeah. So for me, I loved Rocky IV because that was the one that I could really appreciate in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, having gone back and seen all of them now, I would say the first one's the greatest. And then for nostalgic reasons, then I would go 4. And then I would say probably 2 and 3 are interchangeable.
Yeah, I 5 was the worst.
Of course.
5 was terrible. And then they did the Rocky Balboa, which was good, which I thought was a good bounce back. And then the Creed movie, which was good.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the Creed, because Michael B. Jordan is awesome.
Right.
And I love him in many things. So, I really appreciated that one.
All right, Joe, we move from Rocky movies to the Cleveland Cavaliers, who maybe had a Rocky moment, I guess, against. Well, they have a lot of Rocky moments this year, but they did not 2 nights ago against the Toronto Raptors. You know, you hate to read too much into a regular season game because we've seen it a million times. Regular season games often mean nothing when it comes to the playoffs. But the Cavs haven't really had a win of that quality all season long. Does that win mean anything to you going forward?
A little bit. Just because, Larry Drew, in a way, is right. There are moments in every year that you can look back at and say, see, this is, this meant something. And last year, it was around this time, there was a game in Boston. The Cavs had a rough go of everything, but they went in there and just ripped their hearts out. And so now, this time, I mean, the Raptors are flying high. The Cavs have been struggling all year, and they've got half their roster out, and they're down 15 at half, and yet, this guy, LeBron, who has just, beaten Toronto down every time they think they've got something going in the playoffs, here he comes, 35 points, 17 assists, no turnovers, 14 in the fourth, and he just does it again. And so, like, these two teams play again, so maybe some of this will be mitigated when we get to May. But, for now, the Raptors have to sit there, and in the back of their minds, they have remembered that LeBron is still here and he's still the guy they've got to get by.
What do we do now that the last, 3 weeks here of the season till the playoffs with the Cavs? Like, are we just trying to get through it healthy? Is there more to gain in terms of chemistry? What are the Cavs? What are the goals for the final 3 weeks here?
Well, Dustin, for me, I think, of course, health is the first thing, and then building some kind of chemistry is the second thing. But I'm kind of looking at it a different way. I don't think there is enough time to build chemistry before the end of the regular season. So I'm looking at it from this perspective. If I'm the Cavs, I want to be third or I want to be sixth because I want to see the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't want to see them in the second round. I need as much time in the playoffs to get ready for them as I can. So I feel like, you want to win games now to make sure you get to third. And if that's not going to happen, then you want to be sixth. And then you really start to build that chemistry in the first round. You start to finish things off in the second round, and so you're ready come Eastern Conference Finals.
Talking with Joe Vardon, Cleveland.com. Joe, let's get, I mean, we got a lot of injury updates here to go over. So let's get to them all. It looks like they're, I guess everybody but Osman is close to coming back. What's the latest? Will anybody, any of the injured guys return tonight?
Well, I'm not ready to report any of that yet, Adam, okay. But, you know, I walked in a little early today and Tristan Thompson was already here. And okay. So that suggests to me that he's intending on working tonight. You know, I also saw, I saw Larry Nance this morning out there getting a good workout in. So I think I would say that Tristan's probably the most likely. You never know with Rodney Hood. And then if Larry Nance doesn't go today, I can see him going against Brooklyn. But everybody's close. So I think we can say that.
Joe Vardon. Good. Joe, yeah, it is good. Joe Vardon with us, Cleveland.com. Joe, the coach, Ty Lue, this absence he's taken here, this leave of absence, rather, how long is it going to be? And do you expect him back? And how has the team responded without him? It seems like they've responded pretty well. At least LeBron has.
Oh, yeah. They've responded very well. You know, there's been talk all year there's been discussion about if you were to remove Ty, which was never going to happen. But then the suggestion of, well, there's no one on staff to replace him. And I think at some level that's true, but at the same time, there are real pros here. I mean, Larry Drew has been in the league forever, and so is Jim Boylan. And you know, they have kind of, I think they've almost calmed things down just by being here and being available and kind of keeping things running roughly the way either that they had been or that they should be. So that part's been good. Ty wants to come back within a week's frame. It has to do a lot with how he responds to the treatment, to the medicine. I don't know what he's taking, so I'm not keeping that from you guys. What I do know in talking to him is that it takes about a week for your body to adapt to the medicine. And so I think that is primarily what he's thinking and looking at, that, you know, I'll get accustomed to this and I'll be ready to go in a week. Some of the other symptoms that he had been dealing with, you know, I don't know that we know if or when those are supposed to go away and whatnot. So I think it is somewhat of a mystery. I think that it is possible he could be back next week. I think it is probable that he is back and coaching with games to go before the playoffs. But I don't think he or anyone knows exactly when that is, because they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him to begin with.
We're talking with Joe Vardon from Cleveland.com. Joe, this story about Kyle Korver's brother is really, really sad. I mean, he's a young man, yeah. 27, right? The stuff I read, unless you have more information, he just had an illness. I don't know if there's been any further details. It wasn't like he was sick, right? It just kind of came out of nowhere. Now he's away from the team. And, you know, we always think of these guys as like robots to some degree. You probably don't, because you interact with them more than we do. Fans sometimes do. And, like, from a human level, it's got to be going to be hard for him to come back and play, I would think.
Yeah, this is a really rough one.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when I wrote about it, I wrote, like I said, that he died after he became seriously ill within the last week. And I have not talked to Kyle about this, but I have talked to people who live in the community where Kirk Korver lived. And they say that he, you know, 2 weeks ago either was fine or didn't know that he had something brewing. And this thing hit him. He had some major organs fail, and they couldn't do a transplant in time, and they lost him. And so, yeah, that's rough. I mean, 27, you know, Kyle was able to get away from the team towards the end of last week to be with him and see him. You know, this team has had players lose family members over the last 2 years. Channing lost both of his parents within a month of each other last year. And that's, you know, if you've gone through that, that's obviously very rough and traumatic. But, you know, your parents are older than you, and you kind of know about that. You know that that's a reality. I mean, losing your younger brother, man, I don't know. And the Cavs, of course, gave him all the time that he needs. He's not here tonight. I do not know when they expect him to return.
That's just brutal, man.
Horrible.
This team's had to go through a lot, you know. I mean, JR with his baby last year, and I don't know. It's I feel awful for him. All right, let's lighten it up a little bit. At least try to. You know, Kevin's been great, hasn't he? Kevin Love, you know, his first couple games back, is he feeling good? I mean, he looks like he's in great shape, and
he looked like he hurt himself at the end of the game, though.
His knee, a little bit. Is he okay? Yeah, it's good point by you, Adam.
He was out there today.
Yeah.
And he does look great. He has looked great. I mean, he was awesome against the Raptors. And the thing that he does, guys, is he provides space that I don't know that anybody else on this team really can, because he can do it inside and outside. I mean, Korver is such a threat from the outside, but you don't have to worry about him posting up. With Kevin, if you put a smaller guy on, he can go right to the block. And if you keep a bigger guy on him, then you have to make that decision. Do you run out there? If you do, that you know, makes it so LeBron's going to come and dunk on your head. And if you don't, now you've got Kevin banging threes on you. So he's a vital part of the team. LeBron and Kevin have an excellent record playing together without Kyrie over the last several years, and, of course, into this year. They were the two catalysts of that 18 out of 19 streak. So, you know, obviously the Cavs are thrilled to have him back, and it's worked out so far.
Joe, LeBron is, you know, since the All-Star break, has been – he was great early, and then he had that – you know, he wasn't playing great for about a month in January, or not great for him, I guess. And then since the All-Star break, obviously he's been averaging almost a triple-double. He's playing at a ridiculous level in his 15th season, and he has a chance to play every game this year. What do you make of him? You know, is it that the talent around him is not as good as it's been the last 6 years? What is it that has taken him up even another notch, it seems, or at least a half a notch this year?
Well, I mean, he's in prime physical condition, for one. It's incredible, like, to see where he is now versus where he was a couple years ago. He's also, I think he's recognized that the team kind of needed that. Like, they need him to play this way. I also think, guys, that he did want to make a statement for himself in terms of the MVP race, and I think he's probably going to lose it again. You know, the combination of James Harden's numbers, Houston's performance, they're going to finish with the best record, and then the Cavs' terrible month of January. But this is arguably the best individual season that LeBron has had, and the fascinating conversation is, in a year where he's never played better, maybe, is probably the first time in a long time that he isn't the tide that's lifting all boats. I mean, they've got 42 wins now. They have to stay hot to get to 50, which is going to be the fewest wins he's had in a long time. And so that it's kind of hard to understand how he's never played better, but you know, it hasn't resulted in the kinds of regular season wins that he's used to.
Joe Varden is with us from Cleveland.com. We're talking Cavs. Cavs play tonight, 7:30. Suns at home. Joe, when everyone's back, when we get all these guys who are banged up back into the lineup, what is that starting lineup, and who's left out?
Okay, so I don't know that, and I don't know that anybody does,
okay,
because there are just some equations that have to be worked out, and sometimes the way Ty does this, like, the math doesn't quite add up. Like, you know, he doesn't look at the analytics and say, well, here's my best lineup numerically, so I'm going with it. So the way that I answer this is, I believe that the starting lineup should be George Hill, so long as he plays to a certain level. I think Kyle Korver should be out there. I think LeBron should be out there, Kevin. And then I think that it's a pick-em between Larry Nance and Tristan Thompson. I really do believe that it is a pick-em. You need someone there to play defense and to help Kevin with the bigs defensively, somebody who can switch. Both those guys can do that. Larry Nance has been moving better all year than Tristan, certainly. He's given you a block a game, which is good. But Tristan, man, he's got a playoff resume. And even when he kind of struggled last year at the end of the regular season, he still played well in the playoffs up until the Warriors series. So that's what I would do. I would not start Rodney Hood. My bench would be, I would guarantee to play Jordan Clarkson, and I would guarantee to play Jeff Green every night. And then I'd be picking from a pool of Hood, Tristan or Nance, JR, Calderon has kind of wedged his way in there. So that's what I'd be looking at.
Yeah, on that, Joe, like I love what Calderon brings. I think he brings a toughness. I think LeBron, you would know better than I, but I think LeBron likes playing with him. And he's a real pro. He's a great shooter. And they seem to play well in the games he plays. They win. I hope Ty doesn't completely take him out of the mix.
Yeah, he's actually standing right here signing autographs as
nice.
We speak, so I'll say loud enough that he can hear. The Cavs are 19-8 when Jose Calderon starts.
Yeah.
And that's really it's a cool thing. He does exactly what you say he did or does. I like to tell him that when he plays, the trains just seem to run on time. He's like a traditional point guard, and it really seems to work out when he's out there. So when I was talking earlier about George Hill, he's got to be better than that level.
Joe, we appreciate it. No, it's getting crazy there. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, thanks for having me.
All right, Joe Vardon at Cleveland.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.